الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. الحمد لله. It is out of the wisdom, kindness and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that again we get to be part of a Friday, and also at the same time we thank our Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the opportunity not only to meet one another, but also we have some wonderful young guests over here, and we wish them great learning, great understanding, and also for ourselves a greater connection between ourselves and our Creator. At the end of the day, as we always say, we come into this world pretty much alone. We live in this world from the time we are young till the time we pass away with various types of struggles and challenges, and thereafter again we are connected to our Creator. This is how the cycle of life is, and from the time of birth till the time of death, everything is coming our way to distract us. When you are young, I got to have candy. I got to go to Disneyland. I got to buy Mickey Mouse. It carries on. As you get older, I got to buy this, I got to buy that. In between comes, should I get an iPhone or Samsung? And before you know it, 65, 75, 85, and it's time for us to go. And there is one question that everyone has to ask themselves on a daily basis. And Sayyidina Umar and the Khalif made it very clear, every night, and no two nights go by where a person does not ask him or herself one important question. No two nights will go by when we don't ask ourselves one important question. Have I improved today over the last day or the last 2 days? Have I improved today over the last day or the last 2 days? Have I read more Quran today over yesterday? Was I better to my neighbor today than I have been in the past 2 days? Have I been better to my community? Have I assisted my society? Have I helped out the homeless? Have I helped out the needy? Did I visit more of the sick? These are the questions we have to be asking ourselves. And if we fail in this question, then we have failed in something very, very important. Today I was going to talk about a very important aspect of religion. What is religion? That is the question. What is religion? And of course we say religion is belief in Creator, belief in the angels, belief in life after death, belief in resurrection. Yes, wonderful, it is that. What else is religion? It is worshipping, coming to prayer, giving our charity, going for the Hajj, etc. That is worship. Dealings, but if you look at Islam, out of the five things, if you look at Islam, out of the five things that are very, very important, God, Allah in the Quran, stresses more on human relations than He stresses on defining God or defining the Messenger of Allah. Let me give you an example. In the Quran, there is about zakah. We agree with that. But does Allah tell you exactly it's 2.5%? Allah does not say that in the Quran. He tells you where to go about and give your zakah, but that's all. He does not say, this is when you go to a poor person, this is what you must do, you must knock on the door, you must smile. After you smile, you give the person the zakah and you go away. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say when you go for Hajj, this is the way you must exactly. He just says, Hajj fala rafata wala fusuk. Don't do bad things. He doesn't say what bad thing you must not do. This is the category of bad things. Bad things is defined as this. He doesn't do that at all. He says, go for Hajj, fulfill your Hajj, be a good person. Perform your prayer. And how you are to perform it, I'm not telling you in the Quran. But when it comes to something else, it comes to a human behavior, Allah spends about 2 to 3 pages in the Quran telling you. For example, we're talking this morning, for the past, I think this is the longest series we are doing every morning. We opened this book, Riyadhus Salihin, and we are going on, I think, what is it, 2 weeks now? We're talking about salam. 2 weeks, every day different hadith. And what are we talking about? We're talking about salam. What is salam? Salam is one person greeting another individual. Imagine, one person greeting another individual, and we are talking about it not for 1 day, not for 2 days, not for 3 days, approximately 2 weeks. One hadith to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And that is what Allah is doing in the Quran as well. Allah is talking about human relations, and He's talking about before you enter, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَهْلِيَا. Before you walk into the house, don't just barge in. Before you walk into the house, the Quran says, knock on the door. After you knock on the door, now if people are sleeping, what do? Then you knock lightly. Imagine you are the owner of your house, but the Quran is saying, don't just walk into your house. You are the owner of your house, but you don't just walk into your house. You make some sound with the keys or something. So the person behind knows, daddy is home, he's home, let's get something ready, let's get this, whatever the protocol may be. Every house has its own protocol. But nowadays we don't do that. We want to sneak in to see what the son is doing. Sneak in to see what the daughter is doing. Sneak in, is my wife doing this? Sneak in, is my husband busy playing video games? Or did he clean up what he was supposed to clean up? So this element of trust has gone down, and the element of dislike has gone up. So Allah is saying in the Quran, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ, that before you enter, make some preparation sound. Thereafter, go into the house, and when you go into the house, make salam. Make salam. Say assalamu alaikum. Now the chapter even talks about that. How do you make your salam? How do you make your greeting? And nowadays we do it, mashallah, you'll see, as we are mentioning one day, mashallah, when people walk into the masjid, you don't know whether you should make Allahu Akbar and start your prayer or greet that person. The man will be right by the door over there. He say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmat. Not just assalamu alaikum, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa maghfir. He goes on and on and on. Now you must know, so and so is in the masjid. By the way, this doesn't apply to any given person. It's a habit we have. So we make it so loud that that person who's performing salah is confused. He forgets his ayah. One day a guy asked me a question. He says, Imam, I was reading something. I forgot what I was reading. And I had to go back. I said, what happened? Why you forgot? He said, the guy made salam so loud, I forgot my whole surah. I said, why were you focusing on his salam? Again, because you can't tell him that guy was wrong, because you tell him he'll go and make bigger problem later on. So the Quran is teaching us something very, very important. It says, when you walk into your house, make the salam loud enough where those that are awoke, they can hear it. But those that are sleeping, they don't get disturbed. And those that are busy on the phone or whatever, they continue doing what they are doing. But those that are not busy, they can respond to you. The question is, why did the jurist give this ruling? Now let's go into that. They gave this ruling because the salam is considered wajib in Islam. Wajib means it is very, if somebody makes salam to you, in Islam you have to respond to that salam. If you do not respond to that salam, that is a type of nifaq. That's a type of hypocrisy. And in today's time, we use the salam as a, what I said this morning, we use it as a weapon. We use it as a weapon. I'll teach him a lesson. I won't make salam to him. You are using the Quran as a weapon. What happens to your iman if you use the Quran as a weapon? We know the answer to that. We use the Quran as a weapon. We use the salam as a weapon. I'll teach him a lesson. And just this morning we did a beautiful hadith. And the hadith says, the Prophet of Allah, this is the Prophet of Allah by the way, the Prophet of Allah would make salam to younger ones. He would make salam to younger ones. And in today's time, you will see, for example, if a man is 31 and a child is 13, He won't make salam to a 13-year-old child. And you say, brother, why don't you make salam to him? He's young. He must know my value. He must come and make salam. I'm 31 years old. I just graduated school. Now I can clean teeth. I'm a dentist. I just graduated. And he doesn't make salam to me. Why doesn't he make salam to me? His mother and father must teach him manners. What type of response is that? So the Quran is saying very beautifully, and the hadith of Rasulullah is saying something very important. The Prophet of Allah would make salam to young people to teach them the value of salam. Now, why do we say these things? Because as we know, as it says here, that by spreading the salam, by spreading the hello, how are you, peace and salutations upon you, you are giving multiple things. What are you giving? Number one, safety and security to another human. And this is the hadith that I want to talk about also regarding the five most important things. The most important of these five is social living. And amongst social living, number one, the hadith says, and I quote here, it says, a Muslim is that individual from whom others are safe. How are they safe from that person? They're safe from that person regarding the tongue and the hands. Can every Muslim over here say, I'm safe from my mother, I'm safe from my father, I'm safe from my child, I'm safe from my community, that they will not backbite about me, they will not lie about me, they will not go and make up an information about me, they will not distort what I say, they will not manipulate what I say, they will not fabricate what I say? Can everyone over here, including myself, say that this is the trust I have amongst ourselves? We know the answer to this. And the hadith is saying, a Muslim is that individual from whom others are safe. They are safe regarding the tongue and regarding the hands. That is why there was a great scholar in the subcontinent. His name was Sheikh Ashraf Ali. May Allah bless him. When people used to come to him and say, Sheikh, give me guidance. I want to join your spiritual retreat. Back then they used to go, and in the time of Baghdad they used to also do that, where people would go to Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, etc., and say, Sheikh, I would like to sit in your company and I would like to become more spiritual in nature. So what do these sheikhs do? Nowadays this is what they do. Okay, read your prayers, mashallah. And then after that, they'll say, you must make certain dhikr. That means you must say the word Allah 500 times and say Subhanallah 300 times. And you must do this and you must do that. And you must connect yourself to your creator. This sheikh said something very important. He says, your salah you have to do. If you can't connect with your creator, you shouldn't even come here to begin with. Thereafter, he would say something very, very important. And here it says, the first thing he would say to the people is that you must put your character right. First thing, put your character right. So people would say, how do you put our character right? And I had a teacher, by the way, that used to give us an example. When people would come to me and say, Sheikh, I want to join your spiritual retreat, the first thing he would tell to that man, go to your house and say sorry to your wife. First thing, go to your house and say sorry to your wife. Sheikh, what must I say sorry to my wife for? I'm giving her food, I'm giving her clothing. Tell your wife to call me. What do you say? Tell your wife to call me. No, Sheikh, it's okay, I'll go say sorry. That's what he would say. I'll go and say sorry. So the first problem is, we got to get that perfection of faith. We got to improve our relationships. First, with our husbands and wives. Second, with our sons and daughters and those that are the closest to us. Now, Imam Ghazali says something very, very important. Imam Ghazali says, humans are of three types. Just as animals are of three types. Beautiful thing he says here. He says, the first type of animal you see is the animal that gives us benefit. For example, cows. Cows give us milk. We benefit from it. Sheep give us benefit. Goats gives us benefit. They mow the lawn. They keep it down. They give us benefit. Then you get the second category. The second category is like, for example, snakes, scorpions, bees, etc. These things So long as you don't put your hand in the hive, and so long as you don't try to grab a scorpion, and so long as you don't try to grab a snake, you are safe. You are safe. Hopefully, for the most part. I mean, how many people over here really get stung by bees on a daily basis? How many of us really, some of you are smiling. Yes, I meant that humorously. I'm glad you got it. It doesn't really happen that often. And then you get what is known as the third category. And the third category is lions and tigers, etc. They are there. They're doing their work. They don't bother you and I for the most part. In fact, we can say 99.9% of the time, lions, tigers, cheetahs, they stay far away and they do their own things. Now Imam Ghazali says, if you were to choose the type of human that you wish to be, the least, at least you should have running through your mind, if God has blessed you, is try to be like the first category, like the cows and sheep and goat, where they bring value to human life. They bring value to human life. And he says, if you can't be in the first category, then at least be in the second category, where when people don't mess with you, they don't touch you, they don't want to hurt you, they're doing their thing, let them do their thing. Don't look at him and say, you see, when he's talking, his face went like this. I think he meant that. What do you mean I meant this and I meant that? Did you see the fellow didn't make salam to me today? My brother, the guy is half deaf, he can't hear anything. He can't even hear his own family making salam to him. Don't worry about him. No, he didn't make salam to me. When I went by him, he turned his face. Of course he turned his face. The fly came that way. The fly was bugging him. What do you expect him to make salam to the fly? The fly came that way. He turned his face. When he turned his face, you said he turned his face away from you. Why are you doing that? Imam Ghazali is saying, don't get involved in this. Imam Ghazali is saying, if you can't be like the first group, which is of benefit to people, then try to be in the second group. And the second group is like the scorpion. You don't mess with it. It doesn't mess with you. So become like the second group. Live your life. Do your thing and move on. Now moving on, inshallah, to the third part of our discussion on how important it is not to give pain and anguish to other people. And this is very, very important that we talk about this, because now we are getting ready for the month of Ramadan. You know, there is what is known as the black stone. The black stone is something we are very familiar with. It's something that is very sacred and spiritual to Muslims. And scholars of religion write that the Prophet of Allah touched the black stone. He loved it. He would make dua around the black stone area. And it also says in certain areas that if you touch the black stone, it is like you are getting very, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like shaking the hands of Allah. Now, we don't like to say this because, of course, you cannot shake the hand of Allah. Allah doesn't have a hand like your hand and my hand. But what it says here is, getting to the black stone is very, very rewarding. However, the scholars say something extremely important regarding the black stone. To get to the black stone by shoving people, by pushing people, by stamping on the feet of individuals, it is a sin. It is a sin. حج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج. Very, very clear. And this is a very important thing, that even something as important as the black stone, a Muslim cannot get to touching it with ease, should not get to touching it, because by getting to touching it, by hurting other people, there is a possibility that it reduces and diminishes the value of the Hajj to the point wherein you're touching it can become a sin. The scholars are giving this example to show you and I that if touching the black stone can give you a sin, can you imagine the amount of sin we are getting when we cause difficulty to our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters? When we make up information regarding our Muslim brothers and sisters, when we hurt our young ones, when we slander, lie, or fabricate, or make up information about others. Can we only imagine the type of destruction we are creating to ourselves and our spirituality? So therefore, my respected Muslim brothers and sisters in Islam, as we mentioned last week, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something very, very beautiful for our understanding, where he says, "Khayrun nas anfa'un nas." The best of people are those that create benefit for people. The best of people are those that create benefit for humanity. Now, this is something we have to really reflect upon. What benefit are we bringing? Forget to the life of others. What benefit are we bringing in our lives in improving our iman? Now the month of Ramadan is coming. Did we start reciting more Quran? Did we start looking at the translation of the Quran? Did we start at least becoming more active in as far as our basic salah is concerned? MashaAllah, quite a few brothers are asking questions already about zakah, which is a very good thing, alhamdulillah. Did we start thinking about where I'm going to give my zakah and how do I give my zakah to that which is needy already? Khayrun nas anfa'un nas. How good am I with other individuals? What benefit am I bringing to the life of the needy, of the poor, of the sick? As Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that the best of person is the one that does this. Although it is challenging for a person to do it, this is something we should become quite familiar with. Now let me recite, inshallah, just one, two hadith, or let me give you the chapters of what we have been talking about for the past 2 weeks. And why I'm talking about this is because I believe the root of our issues can be resolved. We're just talking in the next few minutes the various chapters we have covered in the past 2 weeks. One is the virtue of salam and spreading it. There's a chapter called the virtue of salam and spreading it. We have to reflect. How good are we at this? What are we doing regarding this aspect of assalamu alaikum and making it an everyday reality in the lives of our young ones? If you do not, according to the scholars, take this chapter seriously enough, then we must not be surprised why our children are always on edge, why our children are sometimes not behaving in the way in which we wish for them to behave. Imam Nawawi says, if you want to eliminate that problem, number one, understand the virtue. Virtue means the reality of it, the virtue of salam and the virtue of spreading it. Next chapter, the manner of offering salam. So we make salam. What are the rules and regulations that apply to it? And as I say, if you came for Fajr Salah, we had done a lot regarding it. So we have to ask ourselves, what are the rules? What are the regulations? How does one spread this peace? And how active am I in that regard? Next chapter, the etiquette of salam. That means not only the manner of it, what are the etiquettes, under what condition do I do it? Do I not do it? Old, young, same age, male, female, blind, not blind, person that can hear, the person that cannot hear. How is salam to be fulfilled in that category? Next chapter, the desirability of repeating the salam to the person whom you met repeatedly. Imagine, the Sahaba used to walk, and we heard this hadith many times. They'll be separated by a tree. So they're walking and they get separated, so they go that way. When they meet again, assalamu alaikum. I remember as a student, people will walk up and down the corridor. The person comes up from a class, they meet the teacher. The teacher goes away. Again, 2 minutes later, they meet. The teacher repeatedly, every time they say, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. In today's time, if somebody makes salam over and over, what we say? Brother, is everything okay with this fellow? And here the hadith is talking about the desirability of repeating the salam, which shows that salam is an ibadah. And nowadays, if I made salam to you one time, I don't want to make it to you again, so if I see you, I use the other exit. because I can't keep on making salam to you. This is the mentality of how we have turned into the salam. Then the next chapter thereafter, the desirability of offering the salam when entering the home. Next chapter, offering salam to the children. Next chapter, the man offering salam to his wife and other mahram. How to do it. Next chapter, the prohibition of initiating salam to certain individuals in certain conditions. Next chapter, the desirability of offering salam when getting up from an assembly. Next chapter, the etiquette of seeking permission as it relates to salam. So my brothers and sisters, as we end today here, I just want to end with this one thing, and inshallah it'll help tremendously. All these things that we are talking about here today is for one purpose: to increase our connection with good people, to increase our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to increase our connection with the Quran, and to increase this connection in order for us to become successful at it. It becomes important to greet one another with love and affection, and to spread it in every way that creates the outcome that we are desiring. And the outcome is what? Peace, connection with people, connection with Allah, safety, security, love, and affection. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in understanding the value of these few things that we have talked about today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us in the category of those individuals. If we are to choose from cows, sheep, and goats, number one, number two, scorpions and bees, number two, and number three, tigers and cheetahs, let us choose from that category, inshallah. That makes it such we will give benefit not only to others, but ourselves and our families. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.